We reported recently on new guidance from the Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance, a major research group. Ovarian cancer is almost impossible to detect until it's too late, which is why fewer than half of women diagnosed with late stages of the disease live just 5 years after it's discovered. It's long been recommended that women in high-risk groups have their ovaries removed, which brings emotional and physical side effects. But the new recommendations point to the discovery that ovarian cancer actually starts in the fallopian tubes, and it says women, even without a known risk, who are having any pelvic surgeries should have not their ovaries, but their fallopian tubes removed. And according to reports, they've been doing that in larger numbers. So let's get a primer from Dr. Michael Worley. He's director of ovarian cancer surgery at Boston's Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. He's also part of the initiative Breakthrough Cancer. Dr. Worley, Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this.
Many of us can picture the thing that we see every time we go to the gynecologist. We know the fallopian tubes, they're up above the ovaries. What do the fallopian tubes do?
Really, it's the connection between the ovary and the uterus. So to achieve a pregnancy, essentially an egg travels through the fallopian tube and it's brought into the uterus.
Why is it important to have the fallopian tubes removed to avoid ovarian cancer?
We used to think that ovarian cancer started in the ovary, when in fact, probably 80%, you know, if not more, of all ovarian cancers actually start in the fallopian tube. The disease that we call ovarian cancer probably should be better named fallopian tube cancer.
Well, we keep talking about people who are at risk for ovarian cancer, known risks. Obviously, if your mom and grandmom had ovarian cancer.
The decisions of what to do really have to do with what your risk is. And genetic testing certainly does play into that. Part of genetic testing also involves genetic counseling. And so sitting down, talking with a genetic counselor, they'll talk with you about what in different generations going back are there types of malignancies like breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, ovarian cancer. So they're really asking many different types of cancers because sometimes ovarian cancer can be paired with syndromes, a breast and ovarian cancer syndrome, like BRCA mutations or BRCA mutation. If they've only had breast cancer in their family and they have a BRCA mutation, that's associated with not just breast cancer, but ovarian cancer. So that woman that is undergoing genetic testing, even though a lot of her family members have had breast cancer, it's really important to know whether they also have an elevated risk of ovarian cancer.
Yeah, well, you just said something fascinating. And by the way, we know for a lot of women, this is painfully, they're painfully aware of this information, but others might not be. If you think, well, I've only had breast cancer in my family, it could be that someone in the past had a hysterectomy and had their ovaries removed, and you would never know that they were going to have ovarian cancer. So that's important. Well, then that brings us to, that's always been the advice for women who are in that category. They have a history, they're at high risk. My understanding is that the new findings are that all women, regardless of, you know, whether or not you've ever had any cancer in your family and you don't think you have a genetic disposition, if you are going in to have, you know, even an ovarian cyst removed, you should also have, you pronounce it for me,
salpingectomy.
Salpingectomy. Yes. Have your fallopian tubes removed as well. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Well, what do you say to the women on being reminded that the fallopian tubes are how your egg passes from the ovaries? You might keep your ovaries, but if you're still of childbearing age, how should you consider it?
Yeah. No, I think that's the important part, is that removing both of the fallopian tubes, the hope is, and the data is that it will reduce the risk of developing ovarian cancer. But what it also does is it permanently takes away the ability to get pregnant without IVF, okay?
Right.
So that is really important to stress when we're counseling patients, is that you're interested in decreasing your risk of development of ovarian cancer. We're planning this pelvic surgery. This is an opportunity, and that's why it's termed opportunistic salpingectomy, because we're taking that opportunity to reduce a patient's risk of developing ovarian cancer even further. But it's really important that they understand that this is a non-reversible way of contraception.
Mm-hmm. Although, as you said, your ovaries are still going to make eggs. And
correct.
So you can have IVF. But so what are you finding? We understand there's been a surge of women requesting this.
Yeah, the good news is that we have been seeing this for many years, you know, both locally and also within the United States. But I think it is because of the research and because of those recommendations, we've seen an uptick in it where, you know, prior to 2010, a fraction of women, less than 10%, were having their fallopian tubes removed at the time of hysterectomy with the goal of opportunistic salpingectomy. Mm-hmm. Now, probably over 60 to 70% of women are taking that opportunity to remove the fallopian tubes.
Wow. Actually, what are some of the things that you could be having that you might add this onto?
So I think the most common really is a hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, you know, probably over 60% of hysterectomies now in the United States also involve opportunistic salpingectomy. But one of the goals of this Breakthrough Cancer Project really is to even get that number higher. You know, we know that once you remove the uterus, the fallopian tubes serve no purpose at that point. So that 60%, one of the goals is we should have that number closer to 100.
Right.
That should be the standard of care in the United
States. Because
there's
no reason why not. I mean, if you're past your childbearing years. Quick question, will that removing the fallopian tubes alone, if that's the route you go, will that plunge you into menopause if you hadn't had it yet?
No, that's the great part of this, is that you get all of the benefit of removing the fallopian tubes, you know, with respect to risk reduction and ovarian cancer, but you still retain the ovaries for the function of the ovary.
Right, which is not just producing eggs, but hormones like estrogen. And as we said, removing the ovaries plunges a woman into menopause instead of a slow slide. So removing the fallopian tubes, I'm looking at stats. These salpingectomies completely eliminated the risk of ovarian cancer in a Canadian study of 26,000 women. I mean, that's amazing. But another question. Let's say, you know, you've passed childbearing age and you're hearing this and you're thinking, let's get my fallopian tubes out. Why not? Why does it have to be attached to another surgery?
That's a great question. I don't think we're at the point now where we're recommending this as a standalone procedure. Because opportunistic salpingectomy, built into that title, is opportunistic. Because we're taking that opportunity at another surgery where the patient is already taking on the risk of anesthesia, the risk of an operation. It's very different to then counsel a patient to say, we're doing this procedure with the sole intent of removing the fallopian tubes. Mm. So we're not there yet. Not to say that we won't be there in 10 years or even 5 years. But at this point now, we're taking this opportunity to do this with another procedure.
Well, of course, because a surgery is a surgery with its own risks. But we were wondering, is it insurance? I mean, if every woman above a certain age decided to do this because that's where ovarian cancer starts in your fallopian tubes, is that a factor?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know those details as far as, you know, whether it's problematic for reimbursement or for insurance.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of women that are also having their fallopian tubes have a surgical procedure on them when they're done with childbearing, like having a tubal ligation. These are procedures that are done with the intent of sterilization, which we are saying that there's a better way of doing it. Someone having a cesarean section or a C-section at the time of their C-section, salpingectomy, removal of the entire fallopian tube, these are the opportunities that are built into that term opportunistic salpingectomy.
Well, doctor, I feel like I should pay you for this private visit. and I should add that producer Karen wants to know if you can have it if you're going in for non-pelvic surgery, like perhaps her rotator cuff.
Oh, well, that's a great question. I don't know that so people are exploring this with abdominal surgery. There's reports with having your gallbladder taken out. You know, part of the Breakthrough Cancer campaign that we're promoting is to bring this to general surgeons, because I mentioned it's very, very common for hysterectomies. So those are general gynecologists. I think this information is already there and these conversations are happening in the OBGYN office, but these conversations are definitely not happening at a general surgeon's office where someone's going in and talking about having their gallbladder removed. That is an aim or a goal within our Breakthrough Cancer project.
Yeah.
I don't think we're there yet. I mean, not to say that we won't get there, but I think our focus right now, where it makes the most sense to start off with, is within the abdomen, because you can see the fallopian tubes for another procedure.
Yeah. Wonderful. Dr. Michael Worley, Director of Ovarian Cancer Surgery at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and part of an initiative called Breakthrough Cancer, the goal to reduce ovarian cancer deaths through this preventive surgical procedure, removing fallopian tubes. In, as you heard, some cases, we'll have much more for you at herenow.org. Dr. Worley, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.